So if you're trying to give by month, compute what that will be by week. And that way it'll be easier for us to tabulate. There are 52 weeks in a year. And that'll make it easier for us to do the math on that as we're tabulating and counting that up. We'll give out the Faith Promise cards in the morning service. And then we'll give them out again in the evening service. And we'll count those up and see what God's going to do with us by way of Faith Promise. By the way, in your bulletins, you saw that there's about 800. Let me look at that again. How much is needed to keep our present missions going for what we need to do? According to this, it will be $2,520 per month for the year. That would break down to about $32,760 for our conference and expenses throughout the year. That would be included to $42,760, which is a slightly less than what we have right now. And then $823 a week is what that would equal to. And so whatever God lays upon your heart, give as according to that. Don't look at what somebody else is giving. You've got to look at what God wants to do through you and what God wants to give through you. And again, God will bless in that. And so at the end of the day, we'll see what we're going to do for missions. Say, preacher, what happens if it comes lower than what we have on hand? Then we will have to cut back. Simple as that. And that's something I don't want to do. We have not dropped any missionaries yet, but we have had to cut back support. And I've talked to all the missionaries, and most of them that I talked to, which blessed my heart, said, you know what? You cut back and somebody else raised us. Others said, you cut us back and two more churches took us on. And so God knows what he's doing. He knows what we're capable of. He knows what we can do. But let's not underestimate God's grace and faith either. God can do some great things through a small church. And so just because we're small doesn't mean that God can't do something. Just because we don't have a lot doesn't mean that God's not going to do a lot with us. So keep that in your mind, on your hearts, and in prayer. All right, take your Bibles, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And we're going to finish this out here over the next several moments here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And stand with me. We're going to read verses 8 through 14. 8 through 14. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 through 14. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 through 14. Do we need to turn the fans on? Is anybody hot yet? Got one? Well, we had to turn on one set, the front or the back. Let's turn the back set on, and we'll turn it on low. I'm up front. I'm warm, so. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 8. It's 70 degrees outside, so that's a good temperature, amen. But inside with no circulation, it gets a little warmer. All right, starting in verse number 8, I want you to read verse number 8 with me, and then I'm going to read the rest of the verses down. So you're only going to read verse 8 and verse 15 with me. So let's read verse 8 together. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency and all things, may abound to every good work. Okay, from this point on, Paul's going to give some background information as to how and why God's going to meet the need and what's going to happen, what's going to be the result. Verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. And read together with me. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Father, thank you for this area of scripture that Paul is encouraging the church at Corinth to make good on their promise to give to the struggling saints in Jerusalem and the Judea and that area. And I do pray that as we look at this principle of grace giving, we might employ that continuously and give as unto you toward our missions program to see the gospel go around the world. Thank you for loving us. Lord, bless now the moments that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We started off talking about the preparations in grace giving, verses 1 through 5. How Paul said he anticipated them giving. There may be an adversary in giving, but there's an assurance in giving that God's going to bless. Amen. I have never not seen God bless someone that has faithfully and consistently given the missions. It's I've never seen that not happen. God is always consistently blessed when it comes to that. Amen. And so when you and I give, we are assured that God is going to bless. By the way, do we have missionaries out on the field that need support? Amen. I am indebted to this church in Belgium, but I'm more indebted to the church in America that actually sent him out and kept him there. Amen. Because you can get sent out and everybody can pull the support and you can go back home. Amen. But praise God that there's a church in King, North Carolina, Calvary Baptist Church, that sent out T.J. Tilly, who is now giving that church over to Alton Mickles. And now Brother T.J. Tilly does a lot of travels in Africa. He's in a helps ministry, helping out different people that need help. And so I'm very excited about what God's done there. We saw not just the preparations in grace giving, verses 1 through 5, but then the promise in grace giving. We saw the manner in grace giving in verses 6 and 7, that everything will be matched. He said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap how? Sparingly. But the good part is you still reap. Amen. So you may say, I'm only giving a little bit of money. Guess what? You're still going to get a blessing. It may not be the blessing that someone else gets, but guess what it's going to be? A blessing. Amen. And so don't discount God's blessings, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we think or ask. Amen. So you may say, well, I can only give this much, and it's not a lot, but guess what? Little as much when God's in it. And guess what? When you give it with the right heart, oh my soul, what God does with that. Amen. And so we're talking about that there. Everything will be matched. He said, if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. And so that's something that we're looking at. And then we talked about how everybody has the means. Not only will everything be matched in verse 6, but everything will be everybody has the means in verse 7. He said, every man according as he what? Purpose in his heart, so let him what? Give. So this is pointed. Each one of us can do our part, and we should. By the way, is the mandate to go to all the world to all of us? Yes. Then everybody ought to be involved in faith promise giving. Even the little children can be involved in that. They can give some of their allowance. Amen. We also talk about his own purpose. He said you got a purpose in your heart. There's going to be no accidents here. If you give, it's going to be on purpose, amen, unless you accidentally put in a 50 thinking it's a 5, amen. Now, that may be an accident, amen, and let the 50 stay in there, amen. Now, if you're supposed to put the 50 in there, you put the 5, that's not an accident. That's probably on purpose, amen. So don't worry about that. It should be production. He says, so let them give. There should be some pondering. He said, not grudgingly or of necessity. Why? God loves a cheerful giver. And when it comes down to that, keep in mind as well how much God has given you. What do you have that God's given you? Everything. How good has God been to us? Very good. Very good. By the way, the missionaries on the field are counting God faithful to give to them through you. You catch that? They're counting on God to give through you. God's not just going to come down and put it in their hands and say, here you go. You know what God's going to do? God's going to go over there and give to this one and say, okay, I want you to meet the need of the missionaries. Now it's up to this one to give to that one. Amen. And then we've got another missionary over there. All right, I bless you again. Give and it shall be given. I'll be reaching out for stuff that ain't yours. Amen. It goes down to the church member, and God blesses the church member. Then the church member turns around and says, hey, I'm going to bless somebody else. And that's how it goes. So God's not going to just come down here and say, here, missionary. He wants to use churches. And he wants to use church members, because he wants church members to get blessed. Because when they do that, then they get blessed back more abundantly. Now, she didn't have to get that to nobody, so get your hands out of there. And that's just the way God does things. Amen. So God wants to use the local church. Who did he give the encouragement to? He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's to the church. Amen. In Mark 16:15, he said, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. So our job is to go. So he wants us to go out and do this. It's pointed. It's to every man. It's on purpose. He said you need purpose in your heart. He said it should cause production, so let him give. There should be some pondering. It shouldn't be grudgingly or necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Which brings us up to verse number 8, and not just the manner in grace giving, but the master of grace giving. Notice what Paul is talking about here. And again, he says this in verse number 8, and God is, what's that word? Able. God is able. What is God able to do? Everything and anything. But in this passage, God is able to make all grace abound toward who? Toward you. So Paul is saying, if you go out there and if you give, guess what? God's going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of you. I mean, y'all like that song? God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. If we believe that, then we'll give. Amen. If we believe that, we'll give. Why? Because God is able. Amen. And so he's talking about God being able here. And Paul lets the Corinthians know God's grace is more than sufficient for everything he would have them do. Notice what he says down here. He gives all grace, first of all. God is able. And when we talk about able, all grace is going to abound towards you. God's strength, his ability to do his will, or God's divine influence or touch upon the heart to allow you to do that. Because by the way, if God doesn't touch your heart, y'all ought not give. But if God touches your heart, you can't help but give. Amen. You can't help but give. Amen. Before I met my wife, I didn't give her anything. But guess what? When I met her, my heart was touched. And guess what I started doing? I started giving to her. Why? Because I love her. I went out and bought her a stuffed animal after we had met and we had been together, a couple weeks or something like that. I went and bought her a stuffed animal. One day, I bought her a little stuffed animal. Show her my affection and my love. I'm rich here by, it cost $2, amen. And she loved that little teddy bear. Her roommates tied it up by his toe and then stuck him up on the ceiling and sabotaged my poor teddy bear, amen. But what was I doing? My heart was touched and I gave. Grace is God's divine influence or touch on our hearts, which moves us to want to do something for worldwide missions. We look at ourselves and say, look, God, you gave to somebody else in some other church who gave so that I could get saved. And now I want to do the same thing. I want to give so that somebody else can get saved as well. By the way, somebody in heaven is thanking you for your missions dollars already that have gone to these churches. How do you know that, preacher? Because I'm thanking God for the members of the church in Calvary Baptist Church, King, North Carolina, that sent T.J. Tilley to this church where I got saved. I praise God for that church and for those people. Why? I know they can't stay there on their own. Somebody had to put them there. Amen. And so God's grace is sufficient. He will empower us to give if we desire to give. And by the way, it all starts with your desire. Do you desire to give? Amen. If you desire to give, God will make a way. God will make a way. Amen. And so when you look at this, all grace, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So he gives all grace. He gives all sufficiency. Notice what it says down there, that ye always having all sufficiency. You'll always have what's needed. Did he say you'll have what you want? What you need. Does God give us our wants sometimes? I've got 3 children, and sometimes they get the wants, but they always get their needs. They always get their needs. Now, it may not be what they want. It may not be the color they want. It may not be the style they want. It may be conservative style. But guess what? They get what they need. Can we have this? No, you don't need that. Josh, you definitely need more candy. But they always get what they need. He said he gives all sufficiency for what we need. And how many things? In all things. Notice the scripture again. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. He said, if you give, God's able to make the grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency, you have what you need. And how many things? All things. All the things that God would have you to do, he will make it sufficient for you to do that which you need to do. God's sufficient grace in everything he would have you do. He's going to make sure you have it. By the way, you can never count God unfair and say, God, you've called me to do something I can't do, because God will always equip you to do what he's called you to do. Amen. Did he equip Moses to build do the Ten Commandments? Yes, he did. I'm not talking about the first one. I'm talking about the second ones. Amen. What happened? He said, get down there and hew out some stones. Why? Because you messed up the first ones. Did he help Noah build the ark? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Everybody he's called, he equipped to do what they need to do. Did he equip David? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He sent him out there and had Saul chase him around a little bit, get him ready. Amen. And so he gives all sufficiency, and so we have the ability to do all the things he calls us to do. Notice what he says down there. Having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every what? Good work. Is giving to God's program a good work? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And abound means you have more than what's needed to do the will of God. So you'll tithe, you'll give your offering, and then you'll give. And guess what? If God gives to you and you give again, what is God obligated to do again? Get right back to you. Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall who? Men give in your bosom. What did I get yesterday? $50 gift card. Did I ask for it? No. God just says, use that person to give you that. Why? Because you gave over there. I will use that person to give back to you. Amen. Joshua can't wait now to go shop. He's going to spend that $50. Amen. And so I don't have to buy shoes now. That's $50 I can keep for me and mama. Amen. You ain't getting it. Going on apparel. Amen. And I think it says down there, gift card for everything but candy at the store. So no candy for you. So every good work. Amen. And so God's going to give us what we need to do what he wants us to do. Amen. By the way, God will give us enough to go around for every good work, whether we give it or not. Is going to be up to us. If we don't give what God has given us, guess what we are not going to get? Don't expect more. Why? Because I didn't use what I gave. If you gave your child something to use for a project and they didn't use it, would you give them more for the same project? When are you going to give them some more? When they use what I already gave them. Why should I give you more when you haven't used what I've given you? So if we get missions money and we don't give it, guess what? God's not interested in padding your bank account. Why? You can't take any of it with you. But guess what? People are dying and going to hell, and they need to hear the gospel. And missionaries are out there needing it. By the way, the missionaries are getting older and older and coming off the field quicker and quicker, and fewer are surrendering to go. Amen. Ron Manuel was pastoring in North Carolina, a church, and God called him into the mission field. And he's no spring chicken. I'm not saying he's old either. Amen. But he is, you know, now we've got Andrew. Andrew is young. Andrew is 26? Yeah, so he's not that old. Okay, so he's not that old. He's spring chicken, amen. He's not like Ron Manuel. Ron Manuel is up there in age who surrendered. Now, Andrew is surrendering at a younger age and going out there. And by the way, I praise God for his heart wanting to do that, amen. That's a blessing. And so God's going to give us everything that we need, do all the things he would have us do. By the way, let me put this caveat out there. God does not expect you to do all things, only the things he would have you to do in his will. So when you look at that verse there, and it says down there, all sufficiency in all things, those are the things that God would have you to abound in. Amen. And so when you look at that, the master of grace giving, God is going to give you all the grace so that you have all sufficiency to do all the things he wants you to do, so you'll be adequate for every good work that he calls you to. Amen. So the preparations in grace giving, verses 1-5, Paul says, look, get prepared. It's coming. We're going to come and get the money. The promise in grace giving down there in verses 6, 7, and 8, the manner in which we give, everything will be matched. Everybody has the means. And then the last point here is the prosperity in grace giving, verses 9-15. Paul now draws from the Old Testament passage to further encourage them that God will meet their needs. Go over to Psalm 112. Psalm 112 real quick, and I'll show you where Paul got this from. By the way, if it says it is written, what is it? It is written. Where is it written at oftentimes? Psalms or the Old Testament somewhere. Psalm 112, and notice verse number 9. Now, by the way, the whole passage that he's talking about here is the blessed man. And how many of y'all are familiar with Psalm 112? Anybody? Okay. He's talking about the blessed man. Notice verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Notice what's going to happen. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Who's this talking about so far? The blessed man. Notice what it says. And his righteousness endureth how long? Forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Who is this? This is still the blessed man that he's talking about in verse 1. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man, same man as in verse 1, the blessed man, showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Notice that. He's going to give where giving is necessary. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in who? The Lord. Who is this? The blessed man. His heart is established. Who is this? The blessed man. He should not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. Verse 9. Notice this is the quotation coming out of Paul's Corinthian letter. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. Who is this talking about? The blessed man. What did he do? He gave where giving was needed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth how long? Forever. His horn shall be exalted with what? With honor. So this is the man that Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians when he says, as it is written. Go back to that passage again. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 9. As it is written, he hath given, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. He's saying here that the blessed man that gives in the Old Testament is going to be the same way in the New Testament by giving to help the poor saints in Jerusalem. And this is the principle that we use. And so he's talking about that. Notice verse number 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So he's saying God's going to give you what you need. He's going to meet your requirements. He's going to multiply your resources because it's going to magnify him as Savior. And that's basically all it's saying. Now, I know there's a lot of words there, but that's basically what he's saying. Notice verse number 10 again. Now, he that ministers seed to the sower, that's God, both minister bread for your food. He's going to give you what you need to eat, and he's going to multiply your seed sown. He's going to give you more than what you need to sow. And then what is he going to do? He's going to increase the fruits of your righteousness. We use Joshua. Joshua planted the orchard of candy trees earlier today. How many trees did I plant? How much am I going to be increased? Not as much as Joshua. But will I be increased? Yes, I got me one little old candy tree. So I can expect to get me some little old candy off that one little old candy tree. Joshua can expect to get an orchard. How many of y'all ever drove out to Sal Rita? You see all those walnut trees out there? Just lines and lines. Guess what? If they only planted one walnut tree. Are those walnuts or pecans? Pecans? What if they only planted one pecan tree? They wouldn't get a whole lot of product coming back, amen. But they planted orchards on top of orchards out there, and so when every year comes and those trees bloom, guess what they have? Pecan pies, amen. Pastor, why you like pecan pie? Huh? I'm not a lover of pecan pies, but I know a lot of people are, amen. But a lot of trees, and so when you look at this, that's what he's talking about, how God's going to meet our requirements. He's going to multiply our resources, and then it magnifies him. Notice down there in verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So he says when we're increased and we're enriched and we've got what we need, we thank God. How many of y'all thank God when you have what you need? You ought to, amen. And not only do you thank God, he goes in. Notice this, verse 12. For the administration of this service, basically what you're doing to help out the saints there, he says, not only supply the want of the saints, it's not only meeting their needs, but it's abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So not only are we thanking God, but guess who else is thanking God over there? They are. When you and I give support, not only are we thanking God that we can give and support missionaries, but guess who else is thanking God? The missionaries. But guess who else is thanking God? The people that the missionaries are trying to reach. Because they say, look, we're here because of the representation that we have in the States and these churches back here. Shining Light Baptist Church and this church and that church and this church. And we're not the only ones that support these missionaries. And so many people are thanking God for what's going on. By the way, I wasn't the only one that was saved in Belgium. My wife got saved the same day I did. Amen. And guess what? There were other people that got saved in this ministry. Pastor and Mrs. White weren't the only ones that got saved in, where's it, Spain? In Spain. There were other people that got saved in Spain. And guess what? The Whites thank God for that. They thank God for crafts. They thank God for the church that sent the crafts out. But the other people thank God for the crafts. And the other people thank God for the churches that sent them out. Why? It's a package deal. All of us are involved. And so he says this is going to generate a whole lot of praises to God here. By the way, the poor is being relieved and the praise is being received by Almighty God. Then he says something down here. It actually shows not just the poor being relieved and the praise being received, but the proof of regeneration that we're saved. Notice verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. In other words, he's saying you're acting the way people that profess Christ ought to act. By the way, how should people act that profess Christ? Christ-like. We should be like Christ. Did he give? Yes. So how should we be? We should give. And so he says, basically, you're acting saved. God gave. Jesus gave it all. And guess what? You're giving. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. Whilst by, verse 13 again, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal, what? Distribution. This is one time when being liberal is a good thing. Liberal is a good thing here, amen. Oftentimes, liberal is not a good thing, amen. But here, liberal is a good thing. It means being generous. Generous distribution unto them and unto how many men? All men, amen. And so he's talking about a prayer of reciprocation now, not just a proof of regeneration and praise being received and the poor being relieved. The prayer of reciprocation, and by their prayer for you, verse 14, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. They turn around and praise God and pray for you. So he's saying the saints in Judea are praising God and praying to God and praying for the folks that are giving because they saw the grace of God exhibited in their life. What a blessing. What a blessing. Hey, folks, again, we pray for Brother Alton Nichols, and well, we should. Why? I'm indebted to him in this church. And by the way, this church wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this church right here. But this church wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that church right here. But guess what? That church might not have been there if somebody hadn't funded whoever started that church. And so it's a reciprocating thing and a recycling thing and an ongoing thing when it comes to the gospel. You reach somebody, and what should that person do? Reach somebody else. And what should they do? Reach somebody else. And what should they do? Reach somebody else. How did it all get started? The Macedonian call. Come over and help us. And when Paul took the gospel to Europe, guess what? The Europeans got it, and guess what we have as a result? The gospel. The gospel. And folks, that's how this whole program is running. That's what Paul is saying here. And then verse 15, he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, his indescribable gift, this gift of grace. This giving, the best thing that we can have is Jesus Christ. He's the unspeakable gift. And so as Paul is encouraging them down in here in chapters 8 and 9, he takes time out to remind them of the offering that they were supposed to give for the saints in Judea. And he goes right into another subject after this. And he doesn't talk about this again in this epistle because he took two whole chapters to do it. And again, back in the days, it wasn't two chapters. It was just a straight letter. And he just wrote. But he took time out to point out to them, hey, look, let me remind you of what you need to do. What do? We take that same principle and apply it to grace giving. We take this principle of how this money here didn't stay in the church. Tithe stays in the church. Offering stays in the church. He said, yeah, rob me and tithes and offerings. Both of those stayed in the church, both Old and New Testament. This offering was special. This offering goes outside the church to help others get the gospel. We have a mandate to reach the world with the gospel, and we have no real leading as to how to do that other than grace giving. Now, I know a lot of churches take 10% of their tithe and give it to missions, and that's what they want to do. Praise God for them. We don't do it that way here. why I believe tithes should stay inside the church. And I believe, according to the Bible, offerings should stay inside the church when it's that type of offering. But this special offering goes to help us fulfill the mandate to take the gospel around the world. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Can we get involved in Faith Promise? Yes, we can. Should we get involved in Faith Promise? Yes, we should. Is God's grace sufficient? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Is God able? Yes, he is. And so as Paul wrote to them, they got involved with it, and they were blessed, but the church was blessed immensely. By the way, two of the best soul winners at the church in Antioch left, Paul and Barnabas. That church stopped afterwards. Oftentimes, some of the best soul winners of the churches and the best givers go out to plant churches. And guess what the churches still do? They still go on. Even after they dispatch some of the best soul winners and some of the best givers, the churches still manage to go on. Why? God always replaces. God always supplies. God always builds back up that which he sends out of the church. That's just God's way. And so I have no doubt that in each one of these respective countries here, we've got a missionary. You talk to the pastor, and those were some of the top givers and some of the top soul winners in the churches. That's what God does. He normally calls some of the top to go out and do those things. Amen. And they don't have to be the smartest. They don't have to be the brightest. They don't have to be the most eloquent. They don't have to be the most gifted. They just have to be available. That's all they have to be, is available. And God will use them, and he calls them to do what he wants them to do. They're not always the most gifted and talented, but they are usable for the glory of God. And God uses them. Amen. And I'm so glad that we've got all these representatives out there doing the things of God. Amen. My thing is, we just need to pray and say, God, how much will you give me? Again, the card's going to go out there on Sunday, asking you to pray about what you're going to give. You should already be looking at what you have and what you think you can give out of what you have. Don't count your tithe in that. Don't count the offerings that you already give to the church, whether it's a building fund, a security fence, or whatever it is. Those are all separate. This is something different that you say, I'm designating this for worldwide evangelism to go outside to reach the world with the gospel. Let's all be in prayer and ask God what he can do and what he wants to do through the Shining Light Baptist Church. We see the numbers. We see our missionaries. We see what we can do. We see what God wants to do. And we want to keep them out there and then do more next year by God's grace. Don't look at how many there are. Never look at how many people there are. Always look at who God is. Always look at who God is. Don't look at what somebody else is giving. Look at what God wants you to give. And then you give according to what God places upon your heart. Amen. All right, we've got to pick out some numbers here and see who's going to get the cup of candy. I'm going to have Mrs. Dawson pick the first number here.